Blog Talk Radio.
Where we feed you the nourishment of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I am your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, this is not a cookie-cutter show, so thick skin is required. But keep an open mind, and let's have some healthy discussions, amen? As always, I am excited to share the Word of God with you today. But remember, no matter what I share, it is always rooted in the Bible, the Word of God, the human manual. And I always back it up with Scripture, because my opinion is irrelevant. Remember, the Bible is the human manual that God gave us to help us run our lives. Just like anything else, you can try to fix something without the manual, but more often than not, you can make a lot of errors trying to do it and not knowing what direction to take. And so the Bible should be the foundation when you're talking about the Lord and things that we should and should not be doing. And that's where I'm rooted. So let's get started today. What I want to talk to you about is the show today is talking about doing the uncomfortable, right? And those Christians back in the day who approached the lost in the early church, they had a message that moved the lost to want eternal life. See, their approach was not an invitation to a church meeting or to take a course by mail with the promise that no one would ever follow up on them, but they taught Christ, right? And him crucified. You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it talks about that. See, the early church was also interested in helping physically. You can find that in Galatians 6, see. Jesus, the example in Matthew, had taught the disciples to be concerned for the physical and spiritual needs of the lost. The questions and the answers come to, but are you? This show is geared towards Christian-to-Christian topics, so those of you who may not be a Christian but listening to the show, understand. These are discussions that are talked to about people who have already made a decision that Jesus is Lord. So when I talk about certain things, I'm not here to convince you. At this point, you should already be convinced. Because one of the most important things you'll ever face as a Christian is making a decision to realize if you're going to be a fan of Christ or graduate to being a follower. See, there's a lot of people calling themselves Christians who are fans of Christ. And what I mean by that is that as a fan of Christ, you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of you and allowing you to walk with him. So you walk it in your own spirit. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, right? Being born again is evident by a changed lifestyle. When you repent, there should be a difference between how you were before and how you are now. When you look at one of the most important issues that you'll face, you come to a crossroads where first you're introduced to Christ, you become a fan of his, right? And then you get to that point where you have to say, am I really a follower of his? Because if you're doing the same things you were doing before you became saved, as far as you see it, and your friends and family and coworkers don't see a difference, can you really call yourself a Christian? I mean, is the fragrance of Jesus coming off of you where people can see that change? True repentance comes from a changed lifestyle, doing the uncomfortable, see. Are we equipped put ourselves in a position to do the uncomfortable for Christ. Because if we are not ready to sacrifice ourselves and die to self and live for Him, are we truly Christians? See, be careful, because you can say you're a Christian and you can stumble others who are non-Christian. The Bible says, woe to the person who stumbles, right? You cannot stumble that unbeliever by calling yourself a Christian and you're still out drinking and going out to clubs and doing the things that they do. What makes you different than them? The difference between a fan of Christ and a follower of Christ is a changed lifestyle. If you go into John chapter 3, 16 through 18, the passage addresses the most important issue of a person. Indeed, it is most important that a person responds and will define their life on earth here as eternity. I want to go to heaven. I want to do all these things. But see, that issue, discovering who Jesus is and accepting or rejecting his words, is how you're going to be identified. Are you going to accept Christ or reject him? I often talk about being a fan of Walter Payton and being a fan of his and knowing everything about him. But I never met the man. And if he bumped into me and it was only him and I on the street, he wouldn't even know my name. He wouldn't know I exist, even though I knew every stat he had, what city he was born in, where he went to college. Because we didn't have a personal relationship, see. See, you have to call yourself a fan of Christ if you do not have a personal relationship with him. Doing the uncomfortable. Being a Christian and following him comes at a cost. That cost is you dying to self. Sometimes irritating family members who say they knew you back when. Sometimes irritating friends and foes who you used to party and kick it with who now look at you and say, what is your problem? Well, regardless of what I used to do, today I'm trying to be a son of the King. Are you doing the uncomfortable? Are you sharing your faith with those, or you allow your personal feelings to get in the way instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to direct you? The Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding. But we tend to do that, right? Because we allow fear and of rejection to hamper us. Sometimes, saints, we only get one opportunity to share the gospel. But see, because of our uncomfortable feelings, we allow ourselves to miss out on great opportunities. See, Nicodemus, he was a member of the Jewish ruling class, and as such, we might expect him to immediately and publicly engage Jesus in a lively theological debate. But he had questions about being born again, how to get into the kingdom of God. See, most of you out there who have listened to me in the past know I talk a lot about going into door-to-door ministry. And why do I do that? Because growing up as a Jehovah's Witness my whole life, I know that there are people out there seeking something. The thing that I have a problem with is that I see a lot more non-Christians out there than Christians. A lot of folks out here claiming to know the truth, yet we claim to do the very same thing, yet we're invisible. We're invisible. Why? Because in certain religious doctrine, they believe that works will cause them to get favor with the Lord, so that's why they're there. So they go out and they do these things expecting favor, expecting it to mean something, because we are saved by grace, not by works, and somehow they miss that. And so they continue on. And since we are saved by grace and not by works, many of us feel, well, why should I have to do that? There are people dying daily, saints, without knowing the saving power of Jesus Christ. I couldn't imagine where I would be in my life right now if someone didn't reach out to me and an evangelistic out-of-church experience. See? People might say, well, you're knocking on doors now. Did knocking on doors work in Jesus' day? Yeah, it did. See, we know by reading the scripture that knocking on doors worked in Jesus' day because his disciples came back all excited about their success. Read that in Luke chapter 10. See, the church continued to experience success in door knocking. It's also found in Acts chapter 5. Remember when the church multiplied in numbers in chapter 6, verse 7? So why did knocking work so well then? Because those Christians then who approached the lost in the early church, they had a message that moved the lost to want to be a part of eternal life. Their approach was not an invitation to a church or taking a course by mail with the promise that no one would call on them. They taught Christ and him crucified. Go to Corinthians chapter 2 and read that. The early church was also interested in helping physically in Galatians chapter 6. I hope you're writing these down. Because it's not about what I'm saying. You need to confirm what I'm saying in the Word of God. Understand that I'm not just talking on my behalf. I'm always making sure that I have the Holy Spirit as my guide. Jesus' example in Matthew chapter 14, he taught the disciples to be concerned for the physical and spiritual need for the lost. So then what does that say about us today? What about door knocking today? See, when I got saved and I got in a position where someone who reached out and shared the gospel with me wasn't in a church setting, I didn't go to church. I had no interest to set foot in a church, but I knew God existed. I didn't always understand what the Jehovah's Witnesses were saying because I was finding things in the scriptures that wasn't making any sense to what I was hearing. But I knew, regardless of all these denominations out here, I knew he existed. And I remember crying out to him, Lord, I know you hear me. I need your support. I need your help. I need your direction. I don't know which way to go. Door knocking work today. Door knocking is not always just physically, literally knocking on the door. Is every person you come in contact with, are you willing to knock on the door and share the gospel? Where would you be if someone didn't share the gospel with you? When I was out getting drunk and partying with my boys and doing all those things, and someone took the time to come over and say, do you know Jesus? See. It is one thing to talk about the method of door knocking. It's another thing to demonstrate results. Because it's not just about sharing your faith and not understanding where the end result should be. It should be leading them to Christ, getting them to understand why they should repent and turn from their sin. Anybody can go around telling people they're going to hell. Galatians chapter 6, Jesus' example. In Matthew chapter 14, look it up. He taught his disciples to be concerned. If we are disciples of his, then we have to be followers and follow him. Those who I listen to are always trying to tell me how they can't do this and they can't do that and they're afraid and I don't want to. You know what? Squash that. Because then you're just telling me, what you're really telling me is you're just a fan. You're not a follower of Christ. You can't be. Because if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you do the uncomfortable. You do the uncomfortable. You have to have a we care about you approach to folks, not just banging Bible teachings over people's heads who don't understand it. People want the gospel, they just don't know how to start. I wanted the gospel, but when I looked in the phone book and I saw 32 different denominations, and underneath every denominational title, there was about 30 churches. Where is a guy like me supposed to start? Because I'm not going to go wander into a church. So where do you start? Do you really believe the Holy Spirit and God don't know that there are people like me out there? Why do you You think he commissions us to go share our faith? Because that gentleman who shared his faith with me was obedient. He was obedient, and he shared his faith with me, and to this day I won't know who he is until I see him in heaven. Because you don't always see the seed. You don't see the harvest. You plant the seed. And this gentleman planted the seed, and I didn't turn to be saved right at that time, but he planted the seed. The Holy Spirit came into my life, and I started, the water, the living water came upon me, and my faith started to grow. And it started to grow, and it started to grow. Because someone took the time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you have to have the we care approach. Over the years, I've linked up with other Christians who had a heart for the lost and the unchurched by knocking on doors or walking the streets sharing the gospel. We did this with love and care. You know, no Bible banging brimstone stuff here, right? Although many believers think that approach works, it just wasn't for me. It wasn't for the team that I was with. The reason being, it would not have worked for me. So why would I try to push something on someone when I knew it would have never worked for me? That wouldn't be my approach. So I take my approach the way it worked for me. So you see, I did not grow up in the church. So when I got those Christian hotheads telling me about hell, I just looked at them like they were crazy. But when a fellow classmate on campus, right, during my college years, walked over and just started sharing his life with Jesus and what Jesus done for him and how he can do the same for me, he sparked my interest. So let's fast forward now, right? I got saved and my passion grew to tell everyone who would listen about this man called Jesus. And during that time, we wanted to join up with other believers to go get them. We had people from other churches, right? One from this church, two from that church, and so on. And before you knew it, we had a little gang, so to speak. We did not claim a denomination. Our rule was we only claimed Jesus crucified. Because we didn't want to get into doctrines, because we had people from different backgrounds, Baptists, Assemblies of God. And, you know, the key was Jesus Christ the foundation, right? Was he the foundation? See? So we didn't go down denominational baggage. We talked about Jesus crucified, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, that was the rule. No doctrine, just Jesus. So everyone whose foundation is Jesus is Lord could partake in his outreach team. Why is that? Because it's very difficult to get churches to really understand why this is important. So you got to get sprinkles from different churches. It would be nice that people would come out in droves. In my entire career, I think I might have came across all the churches I worked with. I remember one specific church in Freeport, Illinois, where the majority of their church came out in outreach service. More than half their church participated in coming out and sharing the gospel. Not just my experience. See? And so, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No doctrine, just Jesus. See, we talked about Jesus crucified and how he can change your life. Everyone whose foundation was Jesus Lord, they felt comfortable because we didn't make it about the church. See, because as the group grew, we started calling ourselves the Disciple Club, right? Christians from all over coming together to be led by the Holy Spirit to seek the lost. To provide a platform for all Christians who wanted to serve the kingdom. The We Care campaign. We care about you. That's what we wanted to come off as. We wanted people to understand that the Disciple Club was just a made-up name for fellowship. It was nothing else. It wasn't an organization. It wasn't anything more than we just call ourselves to the Disciple Club to identify ourselves. So when you when other churches heard about it, oh, yeah, that's that group that always goes out in field service. And now they feel comfortable because they realize we're not trying to convert you to come to my church or your church or try to. Jesus crucified. Let's go get them. See? And back in those days, what a great time we had. I mean, people getting saved on their doorstep, on the street corner and such. Wow. I remember a 16-year-old girl. I mean, the Holy Spirit is incredible. It makes me emotional just thinking about it. When the Holy Spirit takes hold of you, you don't have to worry about what to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words. It's amazing how he does that, but you have to trust him. I remember standing on the corner waiting for the light to change, and we were going to cross this busy street to start in the other neighborhood, and all of a sudden, as I'm standing there with some of my Disciple Club members, this little girl about 16 years old walks up, and she got this look on her face, and I looked over a couple of the Christian women, and they looked over at her, and me and the Christian gentleman that I was standing with, we just took a few steps off and left her on the corner with the two Christian ladies, and we kind of stood off to the side and just kind of started wandering away. And they stood there and started talking to this young lady. And as me and the other gentleman crossed the street and we were getting ready to start on the next house, we looked back to check up on the ladies. They're still on the corner talking to the 16-year-old. And next thing I look up, all three of them are holding hands. And the next thing I know, they're praying. And the next thing I know, this lady's giving her life to Christ. Because this girl was running away from her family at the time that this was happening. And she ran right up on those Christians standing there. And they talked to her. And they prayed with her. Mad at her mother leaving. And she ran into the grace of God. Don't tell me ministry on the street doesn't work. Don't tell me going out and seeking a lost doesn't work. It's a cop-out if you believe that. There are people getting saved every day. And can you imagine how many people could we save if we actually got self-centered lives and went out seeking Christ? Bringing people to Christ. Are you kidding me? I look in these churches all over the place, and there's churches on every other corner, but we're invisible in the community. And you're being taken over by the Muslim religion. You're being taken over by Jehovah's Witnesses. You're being taken over by the Mormons. Christian to be found. And when we do go out, it's two or three. We go out, we kind of touch a community, and never to be found again. And usually when you look at a church, they got a small foundation of people who might even think it's important to go out. I'm not talking about serving in a soup kitchen. I'm not talking about down at the homeless shelter, although that is very important. But what about those who are not the ones that are the distraught, right? They need Jesus too. I remember going into a real expensive neighborhood and listening to people tell me, "Well, we need to go down to the ghettos. We need to go down to the why? So you're trying to tell me that because people have money they don't need Jesus? Are you kidding me?" And I said, "No, this is where we're going. The Holy Spirit is leading me here. This is where we're going." Everybody, and I gave them the street, and we all showed up. I remember standing on this house, big house, and when I knocked on the door, there was a lot of 20-somethings in there. And come to find out, they were a rock band all living in the same house. And as I was talking to these gentlemen, they were on the college circuit. And I'm talking to these gentlemen, and I'm talking to the drummer, and he's talking, and here comes the guitar player. He's up on the top, and here he comes, and then the bass player's coming out of the kitchen. And before I knew it, I had a crowd at the door, and we're talking to them. And these gentlemen gave their life to Christ, and I started telling them about the environment, and I was in college, so I know what you're going through. But start understanding that he's there. Don't tell me this doesn't work. You really think those gentlemen was going to go show up at a church? No, they had no interest in doing that. They never grew up in a church, see. Those last few We Care campaigns, we knocked on 600 doors. 200 of that 600 were home. Out of that 200, 130 started Bible study. They were either conducted or set up. Because you can't just knock on doors and share and leave, never to be seen again. The reason we were so successful is that we followed up. See, we set up Bible studies, and they led them to the shepherd, our church pastor, to be fed. See, we were the link. We go out and get them, and we bring them to our shepherd. Because I'm not a pastor. I'm just a child of God just trying to share this man called Jesus. So why has this door knocking program worked so well? Well, it's important to be organized, right? When planning an event like this, you have to have some suggestions for making the next door experience successful. It's not just about knocking on doors. You have to be prepared. And I'm not talking about memorizing a script. And I'm not talking about memorizing scripture. I'm talking about trusting Jesus, trusting the fact that he is your everything and the Holy Spirit is your guide. That's the key. Because if you can do that, you can share the gospel. Because I tell people to use their testimony. And I can't get into a lot of it right now. I have a workshop that I could, if you give me a call, I can tell you about my workshop and help you set something up at your church. But I'm telling you, saints, we have to have a disciple club of some sort. At the church that I'm now attending, they call it Gideon. Doesn't matter what the name is. But you have to have some sort of structure of Christians who are ready to go out and share the gospel. See, you have to use a caring approach to the lost. People don't care about how much you know, right? They want to know how much you care. You have to train these members in the approach to approach both classroom and field training. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. And they sit and study the approach to the door. They do role playing to prepare themselves. See, learn to deal with statements like, we have our own church, or church don't save people. Go over those things and get yourself prepared. Don't just run out there, because that's part of the intimidation. Because no one has done it or structured the class enough or structured the program enough to understand that it's about preparation. Learn the gospel presentation, the message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, then the plan of salvation, then the church, and count the cost. See, also statements like, what about a thief on the cross, right? Or what about the person on his deathbed? See, train the members to follow up, help them develop follow-up lessons that would help to convert and help them grow. Then use them weekly in the home, in their homes of the new church, and go and talk to these new Christians. Make it a step-by-step process, not just a jumper cable event. Plan door knocking. You know, it 2 hours a week. We used to do 2 hours every other week. Saturday a.m. was the best for most areas. So we'd go out at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 to 12, every other Saturday. That's twice a month. You're going to tell me we can't do that as a Christian body? Could you imagine looking out your door and seeing Christians everywhere? Heck, we used to put on shirts. We used to say door-to-door disciple club, and we all had on shirts. And people would look and go, well, who are they? What is going on? With a big cross, right? And if you have different churches, you can all have the same shirt that says, you know, it can all say door-to-door disciple club. It can say Gideon's Army. It can say whatever. And on the back, have the name of your personal church. But just show some sort of unity. Keep the results, right? At the end of the day, it's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not just a religious experience. Jesus must be the foundation of every church guided by the Holy Spirit. Take the time to get to know Jesus. Because at the end of the day, God wants to dethrone us from the center of our lives, that we might live victoriously fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. So what are you waiting for? Go to your church, outreach pastor, and start a door-to-door outreach today. Until next time, I'm Dwayne Brasfield. This is Holy Living Nutrition. Till next week, God bless and be in peace.
G-O-D. God, homie. K-Joe on the mic. Be flat on the track. I'm a church boy, work boy. Some call him Jira, cause he's a provider.